Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to this very special edition of Atlanta Business Radio. We have with us Ms. Lanice Williams, Esquire, and founder of Mompreneur, Inc., and she is going to be hosting this series for us, and this is our inaugural kickoff show, right, Lanice?
Yes, I'm so excited.
And what a marvelous group of folks you've brought with you for this very first special
edition.
I'm
going to have to pat myself on the back. I think I found some pretty amazing ladies today.
I believe you have. All right, take it away.
Okay, well, as my intro provided, my name is Lanice Williams. I am an attorney, a business consultant, and an entrepreneur educator and founder of Mompreneur, Inc. We strive to find, give mothers some balance when managing a business and some educational tips to help them launch and sustain a successful business. So I have four marvelous ladies here. The first one I have that we're going to speak to, well, let me give you a little bit of information about what we're going to do today. We're going to chat with these four ladies about how they're running successful businesses and able to somehow still raise children, amazing children at that. So we're going to get some information about their business, how they started, what they're doing, and hopefully they will all be willing to share some tips with me on how they seem to make it all look so easy. The first lady we have here is Miss Janelle Perilliot.
Hello.
Now, I've known Janelle for some years, so I hope I said her last name correctly.
Yes, you did.
Janelle, tell everyone a little bit about yourself and tell us about your business.
Okay, well, I am the owner of Junie and Jake's Children's Events. I do event planning for kids, but the main part of my business is face and body art. So I do face painting, airbrush tattoos, henna as well. And I'm also a blogger and founder of Mother Hustler, which is a blog that highlights moms, working moms, because I believe that all moms are working moms. It's definitely. a bit of a job to be a mom.
So how did you get the idea to start Junie and Jake's? Where did this come from?
Junie and Jake's came from my over-the-top parties for my son. My son is an only child. So,
is he spoiled?
Just a smidge. Just a smidge. But my house is basically the house where all the kids come to play, you know, because since he's an only child, I'm like, come on over. Come play with the kids. So we always have extravagant parties. I like to do crafts. I do a lot of DIY projects. And I also do crafternoons where I have the kids come over and we'll all put together crafts, usually centered around the theme of whatever's going on at that time, like holidays and things of that sort. So I started face painting just on a whim and actually was asked to do an event. And from there, just took off. So the business that I actually started to do as an event planning for kids kind of turned into a face and body art business, because that's where 75% of my business comes from, my face painting events.
So this was an accident.
Yeah. It was a really wonderful accident,
though. It was a wonderful
accident. It's something that I'd never done before, but something that I love immensely. Mm-hmm. Just to see the kids, that excitement when they first see their faces in the mirror after you're finished. No matter what I think it looks like, the kids are always amazed. They're always
so
amazed.
They're so easy to please, aren't they?
They are at times. You know, not when you want them to be. But
not your own all the time. But
not your own ever. But yeah, it's been really amazing.
Awesome. So what do you think makes you and Junie and Jake such a success?
I think what makes Junie and Jake's a success is the fact that I really focus in on what the kids want. And I really try to go above and beyond their desires to give them something that they didn't even know they wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's all about creativity and letting a child explore that side to do something different. I mean, you know, if a kid wants to do, oh my gosh, I've had so many requests for just out of the box things, you know, things that you would have never imagined. If kid, you know, girls that want Batman or things of that sort. And when you do it for them and then you do it well, that opens up a whole new world of creativity for them. And just to see that flourish, you know, that beginning, that sparkle in their eyes, that's, I think, you know, that's what I cater to. And I think that's what sets me apart.
Such a fulfilling thing to do.
It is. It's amazing.
It. So tell us about some of the things that Junie and Jake's has coming up.
Ah, yes. Well, tomorrow we have our first annual holiday shop. It's going to be at the Cabbage Town Community Center. And I created this event because when I was younger in New Orleans, my parents used to bring me to Maison Blanche, and we would be paired up with one of the store associates, and they would take my brother and I to do our own Christmas shopping. And since then, it's been the reason why I love giving so much. So my favorite part of the holiday season is giving. And I kind of wanted to create that for kids as well. So our holiday shop will have vendors there. It's going to be at the Cabbage Town Community Center tomorrow from noon to 4. And we'll have some spectacular vendors. It's free and open to the public. We'll also have free gift wrap for the kids. And they'll make a craft, and we'll have some snacks and have some fun. But it gives the kids an opportunity to own the holiday season. It gives them, you know, a chance to shop for their gifts, and their gifts remain secret. So parents can drop them off. They can stay if they like, but we'll just ask for them to stay in a separate room. So we'll have a parent waiting area. But we want to, you know, make it really special for the kids. And I hope that this will spark and ignite the giving sensation in children.
That's amazing. I love it. So if the folks that are listening want to know more about you, your event, and Mother Hustler, mm-hmm. Junie and Jake's, all that you have going on, where can they find some information?
You can find all information about Junie and Jake's at www.junieandjake.com. That's JOONIEANDJAKE.com. And my blog, Mother Hustler, where I also highlight children's events around the city. So if you're looking for something new and exciting to do with your kids, you can always check motherhustler.com.
Love it. Thank you. Are you going to hang around to share some tips with our listeners?
Sure.
On how you make this all look so easy?
I didn't know I made it look easy.
You make it look easy.
It's definitely not easy, but definitely.
Great. We have our second mompreneur here today, Miss Shanisa Boswell.
Hi.
Did I slaughter your name?
No, you did okay.
Okay, good.
It's Shanisha.
Shanisha Boswell. Yeah. I just know you as Yeo's Organic.
Yes. Yeo's Organic.
Right.
Yes.
So I don't have to call you by your first name. I just call you the products lady.
Thank you.
So I know about your products. Can you tell the folks that are listening more about you and your business and your products?
Yes. So my name is Shanisha Boswell, and I am owner and founder of Yeo's Organic Body Products.
I slaughtered that name, too.
No, you're okay. You're okay. Everything's complicated, but that's what makes it beautiful.
Exactly.
Basically, we aim to ensure that all people have a healthier life by providing organic skincare. I think a lot of times we as people, we want to live a healthier life, so we eat great, we exercise, but we always tend to forget that our skin is our number one, it's our largest organ. So everything you put on your skin, it takes about 26 seconds to absorb. So we use a lot of toxic chemicals like deodorants and lotions and even hair products, facial makeup removers, things like that we don't even consider can be damaging our body. So I kind of wanted to approach the beauty routine that most women, mostly all women, partake in and kind of clean it up a little bit. So that's where my company comes into play. And not only do we do organic skincare, but we also partner with local charities. And one of our largest charities right now is the Maasai Girls Education Fund. So we like to give back. So if you did not know, Yeo means mother in the Maasai language, in the Maasai community in Kenya, Africa is where we work a lot of. So when you purchase from us, a portion of all proceeds go to educational workshops for them. So tell me,
if I'm not putting your products on my skin, what am I putting on my skin?
Oh, well,
I'm scared.
Exactly. It's scary. It's a very scary thing. I'll use deodorant, which is a big one. Everybody uses deodorant, men and women both alike. And you go a couple of days without it, and it's all bad. But what most people don't know is that deodorant is one of the main causes for breast cancer in women. Wow. So, you know, it affects your lymph nodes. They swell up. And because it's an antiperspirant, it keeps you from sweating. But sweating is actually a good part to release a lot of toxins in your body. So we create an organic deodorant made of things like arrowroot powder and cornstarch and essential oils that necessarily they keep you fresh, but they don't clog your pores. So it allows your body to detox the way it's supposed to.
Awesome. And you mentioned your nonprofits, profit sector. Have you been doing that since you started the business?
Well, I've worked in nonprofit before. I actually went to Georgia State University for nonprofit management. So when I created my business, I knew that I wanted to somehow incorporate that into my business. So I've only worked with this particular charity for about a year, but I have done plenty of work outside of that with charity ranging back in the past 8 years.
Awesome. So how long have you had this particular business?
I have just reached my 1 year, November 28th.
Yay! Happy anniversary!
Thank you. It's my second baby, so I take a lot of pride in everything that I do. And it has been a whirlwind of a year, a wonderful year indeed, and just learning so much and meeting beautiful women like everyone that's here today. So
awesome. So what would you say is, I know many people in business, I always tell people, regardless of what industry you're in, somehow you're always in the sales and marketing industry.
Yes.
So what do you think has helped you marketing your business?
Wow. That is a really great question. I've worked in multiple restaurants here in Atlanta. I used to work for a big internet company here. So I had already kind of experienced face-to-face marketing and retail work as far as, you know, seeing someone, meeting them, finding out their needs, and going that way with trying to sell a product. The thing is with social media, you're opening up your business to a plethora of people, those you've never met. So you have to find a way to kind of find your market and engage with them. And for me, I do everything myself, from my labels to my products to my social media marketing to my website to everything. So, for instance, Instagram is a huge part of my marketing package. And I talk to a lot of other business owners and they'll tell me, well, you know, I'm not really on social media yet. And I'm just like, no, you have to be on social media. I meet so many people all around the world through Instagram and pictures and hashtags. And it's such an important part of my business motto, is just simply waking up in the morning, take a picture of what you do. If you're a musician or an artist or a painter, or you make watches or candy bars, anything, take a picture of your product, upload it to the internet, hashtag it, and see who responds. And that's how you find your market. So that's a big part of my marketing, is using social media to do surveys, ask questions, post pictures and see who responds. And that's how I find out who's interested in what I'm doing. And also to find out what I need to be doing to get more consumers to come and switch over to an organic lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. So I say hashtags are people's best friends.
I love hashtags.
They just don't know it.
They have no idea the beauty in hashtagging.
Exactly. So are you going to be able to hang around and share some tips and participate?
I will be.
Great. Yes. Well, we're going to move to our third mompreneur, Kelly Sereau. How are you?
Great, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. Kelly, can you tell everyone a little bit about yourself and your business?
Yes, I'd be happy to.
Or businesses.
Businesses. I know, I was trying to think how I could explain everything without sounding like I'm the jack of all trades, but let's just say I believe in multiple streams of income.
Exactly.
It all does actually have a big focus. Oh, and first I wanted to say my last name is Sereau.
I have a horrible batting average today.
No, it is. I just got married about 2 years ago, and I've noticed that a lot of people have a hard time pronouncing my last name. So it's Sereau, like royalty. That's the best way to say it.
Oh, welcome, princess. I like it.
Thank you so much. No, but really, everything does actually have a focus, even though I'm doing a lot of different things. The focus at the end of the day is entertainment marketing. Since I've been 4 years old, I've been in the acting world, and my son is a musician now, and my daughter is a YouTube sensation. These are just things that I was working on more for fun, and it's turned into a business.
So you sound like Janelle.
Yes. Lots of, I think a lot of, you know, people that follow their hearts and just take their passion and turn it into a business are good peeps. So glad to be in a room with all these wonderful ladies here.
So your business is Atlanta Hollywood, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That is going to be the main focus on 2015. It's all pointing in that direction. Like I said, first of all, let me just go back and say Atlanta Hollywood is the talent hub of the South. So I'm helping singers, actors, actresses, comedians, dancers to have a platform online that they can basically have a showcase, which is the biggest way right now for entertainers to get in front of producers and that the industry, the entertainment industry. Showcases is the way to go. So that is currently a face-to-face situation where they go to a big event or a small event and they get to perform in front of agents or producers. Well, I'm trying to start something new here and do it online where, let's say, a singer can pay for a showcase and they can be up for the month. And with that showcase, I get to promote them and I pay Google AdWords out of the fee that they pay me so that they're getting exposure. They get to be in an email newsletter that I send out once a month to over 100 producers, casting directors, and all the entertainment industry people. They also get to be on a list of entertainers that can come to a big showcase event that I'm going to have once or twice a year. And that way they'll have a stage and they'll have entertainment industry executives out in the audience and they get to meet face to face. And so I've been working with Velvet Underground, Hard Rock Cafe's little side thing that they have there, and we're going to have it there. We're going to be involving the community. It's definitely going to be built around a charity, which I'm still working on picking that charity, because I think that picking more of a local charity rather than a big national charity is probably going to be the best. So if y'all have any, you know, let me know. We'll talk after this. But that's kind of where I'm going with the Atlanta Hollywood part. It's also a PR and talent scouting type business is the way I would look at it.
That's pretty amazing. I like that.
Thank
so when,
you.
when do you officially launch?
Well, that's the big question. Right now I have, I'm talking to an attorney and
they're good people.
They're great
attorneys.
People. Great
I like
teams.
Them.
Oh, that's right. Yes. So they're actually, it's all about the funding right now. And I have a couple of different routes that I could go, and it's coming down to that at this point. So do I want to have like an angel investor, that someone that would, you know, and then I would kind of owe them the world. And
well, I actually, if you want to talk after the show, I have a perfect person that I can connect you with.
Oh, well, I mean,
no guarantee, but
absolutely. Well, it's all about networking, right?
Right.
So
right.
I'm doing that right now. I'm actually, cause I was thinking of originally I was going to do a Kickstarter campaign online. I don't know if you guys have heard of Kickstarter or not, but that was my original thought, and then that got halted investing. Mm-hmm. So that's where
but
I'm
this,
at right now.
This management PR thing isn't new to you because you're a momager, right?
Absolutely. It's definitely not new to me. In fact, for the past 20 years, I've been making my living as a marketer, sales and marketing, last 10 years, digital marketing. I was offered a job at CBON as their digital marketing strategist. So I'm all into that. And that's how I make my living while I'm trying to fund my dream, mm-hmm. basically.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure so. Many people can relate to that.
Yes.
So if someone were looking for you, how could they find out more about you and about Atlanta Hollywood?
They could go to atlantahollywood.com.
Great, great. So you're going to hang around and participate in our discussion also?
I would love to. Thank you.
Great. Moving to number four. Last but not least.
No way.
I don't think I can mess up your last name.
I don't think you can, and I don't think you'll ever forget it.
Sherry Flake.
That's me.
How are you, Miss Flake?
I'm lovely. Me Great. And the little Flakelings. You and the
Tell me about these Flakelings.
Well, I have a 3-year-old and I have a 5-year-old.
Ooh,
and
fun.
Yeah, so it's...
Boys or girls?
I have a boy and a girl. I've been blessed with both. Mm-hmm. But it's busy at my house. Busy, busy.
I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I have a 9 and a 7-year-old, so I once had a 3 and a 5-year-old.
Eek,
so I
good
understand.
Times, isn't it?
Oh, awesome, awesome.
Yes.
But
I think dinner time is really
9
where
and
I
7.
Get... Yeah, mine are pretty useless. They can't bathe themselves. They can't dress themselves.
But
they can't
so
do anything.
Cute.
They are cute. That's why they make them cute, you know, because they're useless. Hey, they don't really do anything for ya. They just ask for things
it's the day.
It's
the fulfilling portion of motherhood. That's what it's about.
It is. You got to stop and be like, oh, you're so stinking cute.
Right. It helps you get through the day.
It does.
Well, Sharon, tell us about your business.
I'm the stress therapist for moms.
Awesome.
I help moms be happier moms.
Awesome.
To clarify, you know, I kind of teach moms how to de-stress and stop procrastinating and stay motivated while we work on healthy habits and happy living. The thing is I used to just be, the last time I was here, in fact, with Lee Cantor for an interview was, I was just Atlanta stress therapist. Mm-hmm. And I was going around and doing lunch and learns and big talks. I love giving talks. If you want me to come to your mom's group or church or any organization, I'll come give talks. I hope they're fun. I think they're fun.
I'm sure they're fun.
I'm just saying. But I used to be Atlanta stress therapist, and then I had a couple nuggets, and I was like, holy smokes, moms really need this.
So you found your niche.
I did. And when, you know, my marketing coach always said, you know, the narrower your niche, the busier you are. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult to believe that, but it actually kind of works out. Mm-hmm. You know, my philosophy is that, you know, the bottom line is this. We all want our kids to go and be the best they can be. We want them to be awesome and go for the gold and do everything they're good at and be the stars that we know they can be. But kids don't do what we tell them to.
Really?
No, they don't. They do what they see us doing. So when I have a client who comes in, and I'm a therapist by trade. I went to social work school. I'm a clinical therapist. But... when my clients come in and they say, I really want my child to meditate, I'm like, well, then you're going to have to meditate, probably. You're going to have to do whatever it is you want to see them doing. So how can you expect your kids to go for their dreams if you're not even thinking about yours, mama? So I teach moms how to make whatever it is inside of them, that whatever their passion is, face painting or organics or entertainment or whatever, or marketing, I teach them how to get it into their life with regularity so they can experience joy. I do think that I'm going to be bold and say that I think I've figured out kind of the meaning of all everything. And I do think we were created to feel joyful, to feel wonderful.
Definitely.
And we definitely learned that from our kids because that's all they're interested in. I mean, when she painted on my shoes yesterday and I said, why did you do this? She was like, well, it was really fun. And I thought it would look pretty. So she was really honest. But really, we do things because we want to experience joy. And as we grow older, we have all this, like, I call them our backpacks. We just keep loading it up with stuff and stuff. And so we can't really get around. And so I kind of teach you how to empty that a little bit, and whatever it is that you want to do, I get really excited because this is my passion. You know,
I love it.
But whatever it is that you want to do, you know, I can teach you how to make it habitual, so you don't think about it anymore. You just do it. Runners just run; they don't ruminate about running. You know, we don't get in the shower and say, "Okay, let's see. First, I'll wash my face with this new face scrub I got. Then I'll shampoo my." We just get clean.
Just do it,
and that does, you know, leave us some opportunity for, I don't know, maybe a creative thought, maybe a thought we haven't had in a while, maybe a new idea, maybe singing, maybe whatever. And so if we can make what we love habitual and we're just doing it, then other things open up for us. If we're going to have 60,000 thoughts a day, and if you've met me, maybe it's more. But if we're going to have those, then maybe we want to have a couple new ones. And mm-hmm. So the way that we can do that is to, like, kind of regulate things. And when I speak with moms, they're kind of sad because they want everything for their kids, but they kind of forgot about number one. And then when they do think about themselves, they feel bad. And that's not the name of the game. Mm-hmm. So I've sort of changed my therapy practice to teach moms how to be happy.
Can I just pack you up and bring you
I
to my
house? In your pocket? In your pocket?
I
would love to be in your pocket. You know what? I attract lawyers into my life, which is so funny. My husband's a lawyer, and everyone in my life is a lawyer. And I met this mom the other day, and I was having a play date with her. And I just assumed that she, I mean, it was during the day, you know. And I said, you know, it's kind of nice to not be hanging out with a lawyer. And she said, oh, yeah. I'm a lawyer. I was like, well, that was my open mouth insert foot. I was like, well, that's lovely because that's where I fit in well enough.
And you're here today sitting next to
I know. Most of my clients are lawyers. I mean, I have
because we're stressed.
You know, there's nothing to be stressed about. Let me tell you something. Stress isn't even real. If I told you to go get me a bucket of stress, you couldn't bring me a bucket of stress. You create it with your thoughts. Mm-hmm. I can help you.
Mm-hmm. I love her.
I claimed her first. I claimed her first. So, Sherry, have you always wanted to be a therapist? Or did you grow up wanting to be a therapist? Or
you know what happens is that people come up to you and then they start telling you these things. And you're like, hey, we're just on an elevator ride or we're just standing in line at the bank. But I hope your mom's okay and I hope your friendship gets better. After a while, people choose you for it. Mm-hmm. And I think that I ask a lot of guidance from the universe or God or Buddha or Allah or Susie or Patsy or whatever you call it. And I think that helps. But, you know, for a long time, I was a musician and I traveled around touring with Atlanta pop band 13 Stories. And I also was running my practice. I was doing both. And those two things really prepared me for motherhood. I mean, staying up all night, you know, not knowing what you're going to get. Nobody cares about you. You still have to perform. Mm-hmm. You know, you still have to do the best. People might, you know, you could get thrown up on at any time. You know, you got to kind of get used to the gig. And so I think that prepared me to go into motherhood. I was ready. I was like, who cares if I have to be up all night? Big deal. You know what I mean?
There's
like,
your new crash course. You need to have a
I was like,
webinar,
I'm a musician.
Seminar.
This is nothing. I'm just kidding. It's a lot. It's a lot. I hear my little two-year-old, she says, on the phone, I have two kids, and it's a lot. It's a lot. She tells me
about. So what's involved in this stress therapy?
Well, what's cool is I have a lot of different programs. I have workshops for moms who want to do something in particular, and all my workshops are geared toward what moms want. So I'll do a workshop, say, and I have this Rockstar Mom series that's 6 weeks where we cover a lot of stuff, and I bring in guest speakers and stuff. Because I'm not an expert. I only know what I know, you know. And then they'll say, like, you say it's important to meditate. Can you teach me how? So I have some meditation workshops. Or they'll say, you say it's important that I'm not thinking about these things. How can I get these things off my mind? I'm thinking, I got to remember the soccer ball. I got to remember this. I got to get the calendar together. And I teach people, I have one workshop that's pretty popular on how to use technology to find inner peace. So I teach you how to use your phone, use your personal assistant that you're always carrying around that you don't know how to use, so you don't have to think about things anymore. You know, so I can be with you right now because I'm not thinking about what I'm doing later. I have no idea what I'm doing later. I got all that worked out with someone else, and she's called Siri, right?
I love Siri.
Yeah. So I teach that or whatever kind of workshops that they want. But I also do therapy. I mean, I'm a therapist. A lot of people call me a coach, but I take the, you know, word social worker pretty seriously. You know, I don't want to be another Dr. Oz. You need to do this. You need to do that. You have to do this every day. You have to do that every day. I want to teach you how to do what you want to do regularly. Don't do anything every day unless it's biological, ladies. Just get that out of here. Don't even. No, Olympians don't Olympiate every day. And even if you brush your chomps every day, there's been a time when you didn't brush your chomps and you're fine. Okay. Let's not add to the more. We got enough of it. You know what I mean? We don't need any more of that. And so I think. I teach people how to do this in any way that they can find available to them. Workshops, seminars. I'll come to your mom's groups. I go to baby wearing groups. Then I go to big seminars in lunch and learns because half my practice is still non-moms and men because people like what I do. I mean, I can teach you how to make. If you want to stand on your head 20 minutes a day, I can teach you how to make that a habit. If my poor husband is like a robot. He's like, well, now I want to do this. And I'm like, okay,
let's do it, babe. Yeah. Right.
So once you start doing things that you love and you just do them, you're not stressing about it anymore. I wish I was doing that. I wish I had I never made a baby book. I didn't have a wedding album. I wish I was running. Running's the biggest one. I had to start doing YouTube videos on how to make running a habit because almost every, I'm not a runner. If I'm running, I'm in a hurry. But other people, that's really their thing. So I had to really address that. You know, I had to be like, wowzers. There's a lot of runners out there, and if that's in your little perfect part, that's what I call it, what separates you from every other little brain, you know, then I can teach you how to figure out what's in there and get it out. Some of my moms say the coolest things. They're like, I want to be a butcher. I'm like, awesome.
Let's do it.
Whatever it is you want to do, right. Let's do it. I mean, this is it. You got this. This is all you got. is now, mm-hmm. you know? And, you know, you got the little nuggets there, so there's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. But it's really fun, and I totally love it. And the coolest part about my job is that I teach a couple of simples. I mean, they are so simple. They're so easy. Simple things that can drastically change the way that you think about things. And once you change the way you think about things, the things that you think about change. That's Wayne Dyer, not me.
And but, you change your life.
It does. It's really fun, though, because it's mm-hmm. so simple. You can walk out of the talk or the workshop or a one-on-one therapy session or coaching package or whatever you choose or whatever works for you, mama. And then you can walk out that very day and have a couple tools in your pocket to change the way that you are mm-hmm. with your kids, with your life, to make you a happier mom. I don't know anything about parenting. I'm in the race with you. But as far
We're
as
all trying to figure this
yeah,
thing out.
But I bring those experts in when I need one. But we're all... I think when you're a happier mom, it kind of all falls into place.
Definitely.
You know, and we don't have to do everything. You just got to figure out what your things are, you know? And it might not be kale. It might not be a compost. It might not be organic clothes. It might only be organic, you know, face scrub. But whatever it is, we need to be okay with that because, you know, we're all in this together. And rather than separating and saying what's wrong or right about other moms, or rather coming in to commiserate with one another and talk about how miserable we are, why not have some active resolutions to these problems? And you can still use humor or whatever, but I want to understand you. I'm a therapist. My goodness, I do want to understand. But I'd like to give you some answers. I'd like to give you some resolutions, some things to try. So my clients have homework, typically.
I love it. Well, I feel good. I think we just had a little mini session in here.
Yeah, that's the whole point of it.
So if the listeners want to have their own session, how can they find you?
You can go to thestresstherapist.com. And, I mean, I'm on Facebook. I'm at Stress Therapy. And you can look and see what appeals to you. What's the best way to go about it?
Great. So you're gonna chat with us down too?
Absolutely.
Great.
You're going to probably have to tell me knock it off because I get so excited.
I won't do that. I won't be the bad guy.
All right. Well, then give me a wink or something.
I'll just nudge you real hard under the table. Now, Shanisha, I think I forgot to give you the opportunity to give your website. We need some organic products. Tell us how.
Yes. So you can find me at www.yeosorganics.com. Now, I'll spell that for you. That's YEYOSORGANICS. And I do a lot of social media, as I mentioned before. So if you're on Instagram, go on there right now. Find me at Yeos Organics. And I promise you, your life will be changed forever.
Like that
we
promise.
We have some life changers in here.
Good promise.
You should have warned me. I didn't know we had life changers in here.
I had to let you know.
Great. So I want to talk to all of you about some of the challenges that you faced as a female entrepreneur. I mean, no offense, but we know the guys, they have their issues, but we don't really care about them right now. We're going to talk about the issues that you have had as a female that you think maybe some of the men may not have had.
Breastfeeding. Let's start there. I think I'm pretty... Like, that's pretty. I do think if the world was run by women, every gas station and McDonald's would have a place to breastfeed attached
I think so.
To it.
Or
a
chain
and probably
room table.
A childcare. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Breastfeeding's fun. I think pumping and driving has helped me in the past.
Has that helped you increase your sales also?
Yeah. Well, it's helped me get home and be with the nug nugs. I think one of the thing is, a really important thing is to make sure that when you are organizing your time and you're deciding, and people talk about balance a lot, and my clients coming wanting that, and you got to kind of figure out what that's going to mean for you. For me, when I am with my children, I am with my children. Mm-hmm. If I tell them, holy smokes, like the website's down or I, you know, something happens and I happen to catch an email or something, I will say to them, we're taking a 5 minutes. You're going to be doing a Frozen puzzle and I'm going to be writing the web guy. Okay. But usually it's very concrete. And I think it's important that our calendars reflect that. From this time, and I teach this in a lot of classes on how to get your calendar together, but, you know, it's very important that right now I'm mom and right now I'm not. I mean, with your business, you're always on and open because you are your brand. Mm-hmm. And I think with women, that's more so for some reason. But when you are with your kids, it needs to be in your calendar. I'm with my kids. And I think that will help you not get crazy, you know? So then you know what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it can get really hairy when it goes together and it takes a while to kind of learn that lesson. Do you guys have that experience that you need to separate that?
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback off of what she said. Being a female, being a woman and a mother, I think that because we are the, not to take away from men, but normally we are the primary caregivers of our children. So even in starting your own business or being your own boss, you find a lot of difficulty sometimes in space and not feeling guilty for wanting to be successful and wanting to have your own business going, and then also finding time to be a full-time mother. My daughter's two, so she stays at home with me, so it's her all day long. And then in between those 15-minute naps or those small breaks for eating, or maybe while she's playing with a friend, and then at nighttime when I have to clean up the house and, you know, finish packing everything away for dinner, then comes the time for my business. And then sometimes there's that guilt when my business is taking over a lot of my life and I feel like I have to cut in with my time with my daughter. So I think as a woman, sometimes we carry that axe a little harder, especially when we are the primary caregivers of trying to find time to do it all and then not feeling guilty. So it helps, I know, as you were saying, to kind of remember self-care. You can't take care of everybody if you're not taking care of yourself. So for me, that's one of the biggest things that I have issues with from time to time. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm. Anyone else have any struggles?
Yeah, women are naturally nurturers. So not only are we nurturing our business, even if we aren't moms, we're nurturing someone else, even if it's ourselves. So there's always that aspect of having to find the balance. And I think that's something that women probably have to deal with more than men do, is finding that balance of even taking care of yourself. Because our business is us. Just like you said, you know, you are your business, especially with women. And I think that that's one of the main things that is a difference between, you know, female entrepreneurs versus males.
But I think if I could just interject, I think it's really, really important that if you are experiencing guilt at all, to first recognize it and do whatever you can. I mean, I don't have time for a therapy session right now, but do whatever you can to not be thinking thoughts that make you feel guilty. There's absolutely no reason to feel guilty, ever, okay? Everybody's doing a really, really, really good job. Everybody's here because they want to do something they feel passionate about that they were born with, and they want to share it with their community. And that's about as sweet as it can be. And the fact that you have children and they're going to see you doing that is wonderful and lovely. And you're an amazing spirit for wanting to do that. And so if you're in a space of guilt, you're not in a space of being with your kid. You're not in a space of nurturing your business. And think what if you have to think about puppies and babies and calendars, whatever you have to do, move those thoughts away from that, because those are untruthful thoughts. And certainly we don't want to be thinking thoughts that aren't true that make us feel bad.
Great. What do you guys think about, I know we're all working, we have kids, you know, we're mompreneurs. What are your thoughts on childcare? How do you feel about traditional daycares as opposed to nannies? How are you able to, I know your child is so young, how are you able to pull yourself away and be able to work?
Well, I would have to give all credit to my partner in that regards. I have an amazing partner at home, and he also has his own business. And he is there for me, which enables me to be able to be here now. My daughter, I feel that she is very blessed in the sense to where she gets to see both of her parents home on a daily basis. We both work from home. And we share the load when it comes to that. When he has to go off and work outside of the house, I'm there to able to take care of her. And then on the rare occasion that I do have to leave the house to work, he's able there to be there and watch her. For me personally, I don't have anything against childcare. I just wanted to be able to provide my daughter with that one-on-one attention. So I know it's been something that I've always wanted. Before I even knew if I was really sure if I was going to have children, I said, well, okay, if I'm going to become a mother, I want to be able to be home with my daughter. And I know that everyone isn't able to do that or even wants to do that, but if it works for our family And I'm able to give her that one-on-one attention. And now it's kind of become maybe an attachment parenting thing. I don't know how to let go. So I'm like, okay, at some point you're going to have to start school. Or maybe we can homeschool you. Maybe I can keep you here till you're 30, live in the basement. I don't know. But I don't think that's healthy for her. So I know I have to let her go sometime. But for now, she's two. So as a parent, it's kind of my job to instill my values in her and then allow her to make that decision. And personally, at two, I don't think that should be anyone else's job at a daycare center to do that for her, if I can help it. So
you want her to do as you do, not as you say, right? You want her to see your healthy habits.
And that is exactly why I love this woman sitting across from me and everything that she said earlier, because it's so true. As parents, and I think especially in our generation, we were raised a lot with the, well, just do what I say, don't ask questions. And that's not always effective. And I think that if you want your children to become confident, able-bodied adults, you have to be a confident, able-bodied adult. And they'll kind of form their habits based off what you do. So for her to get to see both of us doing what we love to do and are always happy and able to say, okay, in the middle of the day, well, let's go, you know, ride the Ferris wheel downtown and grab lunch and go to the park all day because we can. I think
can
that's
we come
going
over
to benefit
if that's
anytime.
What you're doing?
My house is always filled with people. I want to meet your flakies. So
flakelings.
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 Okay. Thank you. But yeah. Anyone else?
Okay. I feel a little. I have two older children.
How old are your children?
23 and 19.
You look
so
amazing.
Why? Oh, thank you. So I don't have little ones running around anymore, so I feel a little bit separated from this. But
you can come over to my house anytime.
Oh,
if you miss that feeling, come
I
over.
I do. I borrow my sister's, my niece. I have to go borrow her mm-hmm. a lot. And I keep waiting, and I say, wait 10 more years before you have kids, because I just got done raising you guys. But, I mean, I raised my kids as a single mother, and I didn't have choices, and it was really hard. I actually decided that I didn't want to be a career woman, which was, I think, probably a bad decision. I thought, because my mom was a career woman and was gone all the time, I said, I'm going to be a waitress so I can be home with them. And it really didn't work out. It ended up being a lot harder, and guilt is what put me there. And it took me a long time to realize, you know, to get out of that rut and to change my life and to get into the real world where I'm making the kind of money that I should be making and being able to provide the kind of life I should be. So, I think that is spot on about guilt. Like, just that's the worst thing that you can do, is to feel guilty and let that drive your life, because mm-hmm. it takes 5 years to get out of the hole, and maybe even 10. So the one thing that did happen through all of that, though, is that my kids got to see perseverance. They got to see what it looks like when you don't give up. And I have been
good for you, sister.
Oh yes. God, it was really hard, but it was I've always had this focus in the entertainment, and I've never given it up. Even in the darkest moments, I'm like, is this selfish of me to even be thinking of that? You know, when I can't even provide and I'm wanting to do entertainment, because some people might think of that as vanity. But to me, it's something I've done since I was 4 years old. So it's just my passion and what I love. And so I just kept sticking with it. And my daughter, she tells me all the time, I mean, she's very proud of me, and I've definitely raised a strong daughter. My son he's amazing. His music is really deep. And so I know that, you know, it did take a village. It wasn't just me. My mom, you know, was involved, and my sister was. So I didn't do it all by myself, but it's.
Yeah, I can definitely relate. I'm a single mom as well. I've been divorced for a while, and I have my two boys by myself. But I love it, because I love for them to be able to see what I'm doing. Yes. You know, we packed up about 4 years ago and moved. I wasn't happy. I was living in Louisiana, wasn't happy. And so we packed up, packed my two little flakelings up, and we came over to Georgia, just, you know, in search of a new life, a happier life. And I think we're all to that point where we're all settled, and we're all happy. And my kids mimic so many things that I do. My son was making a PowerPoint presentation on a restaurant that he's opening. They're only gonna sell teriyaki chicken wings and ribs. That's it.
And wow, they're gonna not be lollipops.
And they're gonna be next to McDonald's. So he's already decided that he's gonna shut the McDonald's down. But my point is, I didn't mean to say all that, but my point is that I understand why you would want to be a waitress or why you want to do something else so that you could be there for your kids, because that's really how I ended up becoming an entrepreneur. Just like Janelle, it was an accident. You know, I was an attorney. I had my law license. I couldn't find a job. I started giving out business cards. No one would hire me. I was upset. I was sad. But I just started giving out cards. People started calling me. And I decided, okay, this is what I want to do. You know, I want to be able to take on clients when I want to and refuse clients when I just don't like them. And so when law firms finally started calling, I said no. You know, like, I'm happy. I'm here with my kids. I can pick them up from school. I can drop them off. I can bring them to soccer practice. Even if I have my iPhone dinging 25 times in my back pocket, at least I'm there for them, and that was the important thing for me. So congratulations to you.
Well, thank you, and
congratulations
to you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, definitely.
So I know we're all super busy mompreneurs trying to run everything. What do you feel like is the one thing you can't leave home without as a mompreneur? I know what mine is. I'll let you ladies tell me.
My phone.
Right.
Mine is my phone.
I'm on it right now.
Yeah. The phone is the controller. It's like the command center. You know, just like you said, you know, you can teach with technology. I don't use my memory anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I plug everything in the phone. I have like 15 calendars. I have handwritten calendars, and then everything I transfer into my phone so that I have it.
I can teach you how to stop doing that and make it a lot easier.
Well, you know, I'm a creative, so I like to draw and doodle.
I can still teach you how to make it easier.
You know, I'm sure you could, because I probably overdo it because I have to make everything pretty. But
it's face painter.
Yeah, you know. But yeah, technology has, you know, been a lifesaver. I mean, in so many aspects, it's. I cannot, you know, if I leave my phone at home and I'm running late, I'm going to turn around and go back to the house and get the phone. I mean, anything else, I could leave my wallet, I could leave my license, I could leave everything. But if
Don't
I leave the phone,
car keys.
You know, yeah, I leave everything. But if I leave the phone, I'm definitely turning around. I mean, it's my link to everything. I mean, not only am I an entrepreneur, but I also have a full-time job. So I do have a 9-to-5. I work at a real estate law firm, but I work from home. But you know, I have to be attached to my job. I have to be attached to my business. I have to be attached to my child. And I am, you know, with that one piece of technology. So it has to be everywhere I am all the time.
Yeah, I think that's probably, is that everyone's tool?
Can I make a suggestion?
Not mine.
Sure.
It's my job. I can't help it. the next time that you forget your phone, just do this quick experiment and just be without it.
I have done that before.
But
that's making me hyperventilate.
In a moment of peace. I will say this. Inside all of our perfect parts, there's a kajillion different things. I would not know how to paint anyone's face. Right. I mean, it would turn out ridiculous. Okay? And everyone has their strengths and loveliness. But I do think that inside of all of us is some practice of silence.
Well, that's my goal for 2015. And I cringe thinking about it.
Me too.
But part of my goal is to have one weekend off limits. And I already try to, when I go on vacation, try to pick somewhere where I won't have cell phone coverage or internet, just so that I can actually detach.
That's
so
brave.
Part of my goal for 2015, it is, it's,
I'm gonna
it's
try
scary,
that.
But you know,
text me when you do it.
You know, it's scary, but I mean, once you get past that, I guess that initial 15 to 20 minutes, you're so right. You find peace. And you won't have that peace if you constantly have your phone to look at. Because if it's there, you're going to look at it. If, you know, it just draws you in all the time. So that is definitely my goal for 2015,
I'm
is to have a weekend free. But I cringe thinking about
but
it.
We're going
to
do it together. Accountability partners.
Exactly.
Okay.
And we're going to call you, Sherry. We're
okay,
tell
what you,
you
could do is, while you're preparing for this, you know, because of what I teach, I've become the expert in New Year's resolutions. And I highly recommend you don't have them the way that we typically go about them. Please let your 2015 have that be the goal by the end of 2015, what you're doing. What we tend to do is start at the goal. On January 1st, I'm going to run 3 days a week for an hour. Your brain is wired up to sabotage new behaviors. It sees sameness as safety. Because you lived through yesterday, that's good enough for your brain. It doesn't matter if you didn't grow or eat kale or all these other things that you'd like to do. That's your mind. That's the capital J that separates you from every other brain. Mm-hmm. But brains are wired up to sabotage new behaviors. So you may do it for a week or two, and then your brain's like, we're not doing that. Okay, we lived through yesterday, we didn't do that, so we're not doing that. So if you have your goal be by the end of 2015, and maybe jump on my mailer or something and learn how to make it a habit, by the end of 2015, if you have this kind of weekend that you want, you're doing well. What tends to happen is we don't do it the very first week of January, and then we feel bad. I can tell you this. If you're feeling bad about the things that you want to change, they won't change. Mm. I can give you that with 100% guarantee.
That makes perfect
okay,
sense.
Okay, if you're feeling good,
let me write that down.
Unload the dishwasher. Wow! Okay, you're way more likely to do it. Okay, I know my levels are probably off the charts.
It's perfect.
How it always was on stage.
It's but, early. It's great.
If you're feeling good about something, you know, if you're feeling bad, you know, your brain avoids things that you don't want to do because it likes you. And so it'll say, hey, let's not do that. That's, ugh, I don't want to do that. How about we just look on Facebook or we watch, you know, Desperate Housewives or we do whatever. And a lot of my clients will say that their biggest problem is when they do have free time, they run around in circles and then they do nothing. And so we do have to plan that too. But I think it's really important that when we look at New Year's resolutions that you understand that, A, here's the bad news. Nothing magical happens on New Year's Day. I'm sorry, but right. Nothing does. And it's just an arbitrary day to our brains. And our minds get really excited and happy and pumped and like, I want to do this because that's what's in your part. And you are in alignment with your true purpose when you're feeling that kind of joy. But I can show you so simply how to actually accomplish your goals by the end of the year rather starting at the beginning. You know, I'm a guitar player and I can't believe I just said that because I'm horrible, but on January 1st, I'm not saying on January 1st, I'm going to play Jimi Hendrix licks. You know, amazing we don't do that, right? Because we can't, okay? We need things little by little and let your brain allow it to be. And then when something becomes normal, your brain is like, get up. It's 5:30. This is when we go to yoga. Come on. It's time to practice Chinese or whatever it is that you have made a habit. Does that make sense?
So you think Janelle and I should maybe just start with 10 minutes a day?
I don't think you should ever should on yourself. Okay, no more shoulds, no more oughts. I think if you want to try with the time limit that, yes, you okay. could do that.
Well, we're going to try.
We're going to try.
Let's try 30 minutes a day, Janelle.
Let's try.
Let's do it.
Okay.
You're going to be okay.
And you guys have to all keep us updated.
That makes me nervous.
I'm going to draw up a contract. Okay. And we're going to sign it in the hallway
let's
when we're doing
it.
You can do it.
Let's do it.
I call all of that a digital detox, by the way. That's
digital
my verbiage.
Detox. I like it.
You know, you got to take a digital detox.
But start little by little. Don't start with a weekend. By the end of 2015, have a weekend.
Have a weekend.
Make it the
that
goal.
That makes perfect sense.
The goal at the end of the year, not at the first of the year. That makes no sense.
Do you see why I'm taking her home?
Yeah.
Can we share her?
No. No, I don't share.
We've already called dibs.
But, all right. You know, working in the digital realm that I've been in, it really is so important for people to be human in this digital world that we're in. Mm-hmm. And it really, really is. I'm a digital marketing strategist, and I will leave my phone at home. Mm-hmm. No problem. Because I know that I have to, oh my gosh, just get away from it.
Digital detox.
It has so changed the way mm-hmm. people even really communicate has. In the living room. You can be sitting there with your family, and everyone's on the phone with the blue face.
So true.
Mm-hmm. And it's just... It's really, I think, an
the
important
blue
thing.
Blue face, that's funny. I call it, when my kids. They don't watch TV at home. But we were at the doctor's office yesterday, and they had a TV up there, and she's like a vidiot. I mean, her mouth was open, her eyes were wide. I'm like, it's Frosty the Snowman. It's not like, you know, the new, like, I mean, it's not, you know, brain surgery.
She was excited.
She was like, holy moly.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up, but I have one final question for all of you. Or not a question, a request. What is a tip for a woman that's an aspiring entrepreneur? What tip would you share with her to go ahead and just dive into this mompreneur lifestyle?
Hire me.
Yeah, I wish I would have gotten that tip when I started.
Right.
A third party can always help in that way.
That's true. Have a support system.
Definitely. Have a support system. And I know, and I've heard this from other mompreneurs whose maybe their spouses aren't supportive or their families aren't supportive. It's so important to find someone, even if it's a friend. I mean, and there are a lot of mompreneur groups, you know, that you can find someone that you can just...
As I clear my throat.
Right. Mompreneur.com. But yeah, just, I mean, find a support system. I find more solace in speaking with my friends who also own businesses because they understand and they can help. They can actually give you valid, you know, advice or help you to, you know, unclog your mind when you've been thinking so much that you can't really think straight. Whereas someone who doesn't really know what you're going through might not have the sympathy that you want at the time, you know. So just, you know, have a support system. That's really, really important, I think.
Mm-hmm. I tell my clients to make sure that they are taking people out to lunch that are doing what they want to do, you know, mm-hmm. And to keep your eye on the prize. What happened with me is I was like, oh, I'll do that. And I was like, wait a minute. You know, just because I teach people how to do it all doesn't mean I have to do it all. I think, you know, there's this person is doing, you know, workshops and this person's doing seminars and this person's doing talks and this person wrote a book and this person has this. And then you can go to their store and their online store and then they have a store in Dunwoody. And then, I mean, like, what do you want to do? Like you can do all of that, but what are you going to do today? What are you going to do next week? What would you like to have by the end of next year? Like, stay focused. You have all this time. It's like in this Google society, we want everything in 4 seconds. My marketing coach says you have 4 seconds to get them on their website. That's crazy. But we can't have everything in four seconds. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you got to decide, what would you like right now? What would you like by the end of today? You know, what would you like in this very moment we're in? And everybody says, stop and take a deep breath. But I don't see that. I don't see a lot of people stopping and take a deep breath. We talk about a lot of things, but we don't do it. So you can take a deep breath. You know, that's your prana. That's your life force. Like, take a deep breath and decide what you want to do today by the end of this week.
Yeah. And to also piggyback off of that again, I have a 3-part suggestion, I guess I would say. It's research, business plan, execute. Before you start anything, research what you're doing. I know, especially in my field dealing with skincare, I'm making a product that people apply to their skin. I could never just dive right into doing that. And diving into it, you know, it stresses you out. So I spent the first year researching what I wanted to do, researching different herbs, researching different oils, things like that, and companies, because even at the end of the day, just because someone claims to be organic, you don't know exactly what they're using. So it's still very important to research. And then once you have as much research as you can to move forward, write out a business plan. And it's just, you know, I went online to Google University and pulled up a business plan template and I subbed my information into there. And it really helped me to find a direction to where I wanted to go, because I started off saying, okay, well, I just want to do butters and scrubs. I don't know where I want to sell them, but I know I want to sell them. And I guess I could use Facebook, but I don't really know about that. So for me, writing out a business plan helped me see direction. And it gave me a goal list for the next 5 years and 10 years. And every 6 months, I go back to my business plan to make sure I'm on track and I update it for new ideas I may have. And then the third step would just simply be to execute. I think that we get caught up a lot on procrastination and even fear and doubt and saying, okay, well, I can't do this, or this has already been done. And I'm sure we all know there's nothing new under the sun. Any idea that you have, I'm sure somebody may have already done something similar to it, but it's your job to kind of make it better and to make it creative and make it yours. So even in the execution, you know, just do everything with a full heart and a full passion and a purity. And there's no way that you can fail in your goal. So
I love it.
Thank you.
And just like my bracelet says, never, ever, ever give up.
Definitely.
I mean, I have one of the reasons why I have a list of over 100 contacts that are in the entertainment industry all over the country is because I've forged these relationships over the last 20 years. And I knew what I was going to be doing 20 years ago. I just had to keep putting my eye on the target. It wasn't easy to do it being a single mom, but I knew that that's eventually where I was going to be. And I just never, ever, ever took my eye off the target. And that's the best advice I could give, because you do build a track record and then you do have something to point back to. Definitely. If you just don't give up.
With passion and commitment,
yes,
and persistence, something is bound to happen.
Yes.
All the time.
Yep. And you're Shanisha, right?
Yes.
Just so everyone knows, her skin is really lovely.
It really is.
Thank you. I think,
since we can't glowing. Show it,
yeah, they can't see
might
it.
Have to let you know. There's the proof is in the pudding here.
Thank you.
And I also have a procrastination workshop. So
we're going to talk because I'm happy I need to have you everybody. In my life.
Come on.
At all times. Put her on my shoulder.
Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining me on the very first episode. I'm so glad that you all were able to come down and help support a great cause. Just let these ladies know what you're doing. Give some other people some motivation, some tips. It's phenomenal. I love this. I can't wait to do it again. So if anyone like information on the show, what I'm doing, I can be found at Lenise, L-E-N-I-S-E, Williams.com, and tune in next time to get some more tips on babies, business, and balance.